Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And away we go, hour number three of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. John Calipari, as you know, he is leaving Kentucky. He confirmed that today with a video to Big Blue Nation from his couch. I didn't see any dog in it today. I didn't see any stroller in it today. And now we await for the official announcement that he is going to be the next coach at Arkansas. Samter sent me some photo that's going around the good old internet, and it's inside, and I'm assuming that this is true. Maybe it's photoshopped. If it is, then who cares, because we all know what's going to happen. But it was inside the Arkansas facility, and there's already a photo of the new leader of the Pig Suey chant in John Calipari in Arkansas red. So people are already working up the Photoshop skills, and they're doing it pretty damn good. So that's going to be the inevitable, and now we wait on what Kentucky is going to do next. Nate Oates made it clear yesterday he's not going to Kentucky. Jay Wright, will play that audio later, kind of said he wasn't going. I know he's not going, but a lot of people said, oh, this is convincing audio last night. I didn't think it was convincing audio. And we also know that Dan Hurley is not leaving UConn for Kentucky. So who else remains? I don't think Rick Pitino's a serious candidate. Debbie Antonelli was on with this yesterday. She suggested Brad Stevens. But I think this is going to be, and I said this yesterday, out of the realistic candidates, the three realistic candidates, Nate Oates, Scott Drew, and then Billy Donovan. One of those three need to be the next head coach. Oates has taken himself out of the conversation. Maybe he wasn't actually really in the conversation. There's some conflicting reports out there on that one. But either this needs to be Billy Donovan or it needs to be Scott Drew. So we'll connect with Matt Jones, the host of Kentucky Sports Radio, longtime radio host, does a great job covering the Kentucky sports scene. He's going to join us 18 minutes from now. But let's get back to the good old football. So I got very excited an hour ago when Evan Silva reported that the Commanders did not have a good meeting with Jaden Daniels. And now Jaden Daniels is intent on playing for the Patriots. I want to believe that report is true. I want to eat up that report because I want my Patriots to get Jaden Daniels and I do not want Drake May. But I need to be fair too. We went after Tony Pauline yesterday for his report about what he's hearing about Malik Nabers. And I've always said this about the NFL draft. It is such a slimy process where people go after, and I don't want to call them kids, but they go after young adults just to try to make their draft stock fall down because ultimately they want a narrative out there so they could go get that player. Now, it doesn't mean that everything critical said about a player isn't true, but it's lying season. And right now, it's the height and it's the apex of lying season. And even though I will make one exception because I want the Jaden Daniels report to be true because I want him to be on the Patriots, I got to be fair, and I always say this, once the combine happens, everything after the combine and during the combine is a load of crap. Like, remember last year? I was sitting at the draft, and everyone's like, oh, C.J. Stroud, his stock is falling. And I sat there, and I'm like, you know what? C.J. Stroud's going to be the second overall pick of the draft. And then I was able to predict, because all these people were talking about Tennessee maybe moving up to go get Will Anderson Jr. I'm like, why not the Texans also move up to get Will Anderson Jr.? And it happened. So usually what you hear from now until the draft, just fade it. Go the other way. It's kind of like in gambling when you know that everyone's on one team. Oh, what don't we know? All right, I'm just going to go the other way, even though it makes no sense to go the other way. That's That's what you got to kind of do this time of the year. But let's get to two more reports that are out there, because they're still talking points, and you can have bigger conversations about them. Armando Saguro, who has been a longtime NFL reporter, now works at OutKick. He is reporting that the Cardinals are seeking 3 first-round picks to move down from number 4. And he says if they can't get 3 first-round picks to move down from 4, then his guess is that they will end up taking Marvin Harrison Jr. So, I don't think there's anything crazy from that report. Like, sometimes you hear these reports now, and you're like, oh, that's a bunch of baloney. The Cardinals, sitting at 4, if you have quarterback, quarterback, quarterback go 1, 2, 3, then the question becomes, if let's say the Patriots don't trade, if let's say the Commanders don't trade, the Bears don't trade, and it goes Williams, May, Daniels, in whatever order you want, then that 4th and 5th pick becomes very big. Because I really do believe if J.J. McCarthy is on the board at 6, not that I think he should be the 6th overall pick in the draft, but I don't think the Giants are going to pass up on J.J. McCarthy or Drake May if either are still available at 6. So then you have teams like Stu's Raiders. You have teams like the Minnesota Vikings. Maybe even the Denver Broncos that could all consider jumping past the Giants, whether that's at 4 with the Cardinals or 5 with the Chargers. Because if 3 quarterbacks go off the board and the Giants have the option at the 4th quarterback at 6, I do think they will take the quarterback. So here's the bigger question here. Will the NFL, with Monty Ossenfort now in year 2, Jonathan Gannon in year 2, is that the right formula? When you have a quarterback that's good, we don't know if he's a franchise quarterback, we don't know if he's great, but you don't have a lot around that quarterback, can a still newish regime trade back in back-to-back drafts and be able to see through this rebuild? The team that I will throw out there, the Houston Texans. The Texans basically punted. And I know they got a ton of draft capital from the Deshaun Watson trade. But the Texans, with Nick Caserio, basically punted on 2 seasons when they first hired David Culley to be the coach and then fired him after 1 year and then hired Lovie Smith after that, where we all knew neither of those 2 gentlemen were going to be the long-term answer. But they were afforded the patience from the McNair family. And look, then last year, they said, we're not punting anymore. We're taking Stroud at 2, and we're moving up in the draft to get Will Anderson, and boom, immediate turnaround where not only were they in the playoffs, but they were in the divisional round. Ultimately, you got to win, though. Like, if the Texans last year were a 5-win football team, I don't know if Nick Caserio's back. Or, at worst, Nick Caserio's in the hot seat entering the season. Now, Nick Caserio could do no wrong, and this tandem of Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans is a great 1-2 punch. So the Cardinals last year were the team that traded back from 3 to acquire another first-round pick, and yet the Texans swoop up in at number 3. Can the Cardinals do that again this year where they trade back? And everyone at the time was praising the Arizona Cardinals because they thought that Texans pick was going to be terrible. They thought it was going to be, everyone thought the Texans were going to be just a rancid product, and they'd be picking the top 5 and it would go back to the Cardinals. Not the case. So I think the Cardinals can trade back. Now, if they trade with the Vikings have 2 first-round picks this year. So you could get 11 and then whatever the other pick is, it's the Texans pick. It's like in the mid-20s or something like that. So you could get some immediate players now. But you still want a future first-round pick. Because if a team's trading up to get into like the 4th spot, right, they go have immediate success in year 1, but they could also have some rookie quarterback problems, and you would want their first-round pick next year if it ends up being a good pick. Like, if the Vikings end up taking a quarterback at the 4th pick, I don't think that Vikings pick next year is going to be sensational. If a team like the Broncos move up, yeah, I would want their first-round pick next year because I don't think they have a lot on that offense. So it all comes down to, will the Cardinals and will their ownership group, who you can't really trust, will they afford Monty Ossenfort and then also Jonathan Gannon patience? Because if you get three first-round picks, and I'm not just talking about a swap. Like, I'm talking, if you could actually get three first-round picks for the number four pick for a team trying to get a quarterback, you almost have to do that. But the difficult part is, can you get enough immediately? Like, can you get the best of both worlds where, yes, you're not getting Marvin Harrison Jr., you're not getting Malik Nabers, you're probably not getting Roma Dunze, but can you get a wide receiver still in the first round that will immediately help Kyler Murray? Because that's another thing. The Cardinals got to figure out if Kyler Murray is truly their guy. Ossenfort says he's their, you know, Kyler Murray is his guy. Jonathan Gannon, Mr. Boop, 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 says Kyler Murray is his guy. But if Kyler Murray has an underwhelming season this year, we'll see if he's really the guy. But I want to see Kyler Murray be put in a position to succeed. Right now with the roster that they have, I can't expect much out of Kyler Murray this season. So that's the Cardinals report. Now, Joe Shane was talking to Albert Breer. The Giants, as we talked about, had the sixth pick. We don't want to be up here again. We don't want to be picking in the top 10. Joe Shane told Albert Breer of SI.com. This is via Pro Football Talk. We have multiple needs. We're going into year three. People assume we're going quarterback, but we have other needs. If the quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and 4, then we're getting the second best position player, not quarterback at 6, which is okay too. That player will really help us. Even last year, our quarterback coach was at CJ Stroud workout. We spent a lot of time with Will Levis, Anthony Richardson. We will still spend time with those guys, and it's not just for right now, but when they become free agents. Brian Burns, we spent a lot of time with him in the draft process. So you feel comfortable making a trade for a guy. Drew Lock too, Sam Darnold in Buffalo. We spent a lot of time with him because that was the Josh Allen draft. Here's what we know. The Giants are done with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones may be their week one starter, but the Giants are done with Daniel Jones. Now, I think he kind of made himself look, and I like Joe Shane, but a whole lot better than the reality of the situation with mentioning CJ Stroud last year. Like, oh yeah, we were at the workout. The Giants weren't taking a quarterback last year. The Giants just gave Daniel Jones a massive extension, but he's saying you want to be familiar, you want to do your due diligence on everybody. But that line of if the quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and 4, then we're getting the second best position player, not quarterback at 6. Very rarely in the draft process do you get the answers to the test. But Samter, this is not coming from a reporter. This is not coming from sources. This is from the source in Joe Shane. When he says if the quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and 4, then we're getting the second best position player in the draft, that's him basically telling you, we'll take a quarterback at 6 if only 3 quarterbacks go before then. But if 4 quarterbacks go in 1 through 5, you know, in any way, whether it's, you know, the Cardinals or the Chargers, one of them trading the pick, and then obviously the Bears, the Commanders, and the Patriots all taking quarterbacks, then they will take a positional player. So that, to me, is them saying, because no one thinks Jaden Daniels is going to be available at 6, and obviously Caleb Williams won't. That's him saying, if Drake May or J.J. McCarthy are available at 6, that will be the pick. But if neither of those two players are available at 6, then we're going to take the best positional player, which could be Roma Dunze, could be Malik Nabers, could be Marvin Harrison Jr., if somehow, some way he's still available, could be Joe Alt, the offensive lineman out of Notre Dame. Like, you pretty much can name any player in the draft. That could be the pick if it's not a quarterback. Outside of whoever, then the Chargers are going to take at 5 or the Cardinals, whoever ends up passing on a trade to go get a quarterback. So that's an intriguing storyline. Yes, all we know is Williams will be 1. Then who will the Commanders take at 2? And then after that, the trade watch starts. Will New England take a QB or will they trade? Will the Cardinals trade or will they take a player? Will the Chargers trade to a team that needs a quarterback or will they take another player? The draft really starts with the second pick. We all know Williams is going one. Who will go two, and then how many trades will happen until the Giants are up at six with the third, fourth, and fifth picks that are held by the Patriots, the Cardinals, and the Chargers. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Matt Jones is all over the Kentucky sports scene. He will join us next. We'll try to get some intel on who will be the next head coach of the Wildcats replacing John Calipari.
Hey, everyone. This is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, Samter put a poll out there on the CBS Sports Radio Twitter page. Dan Hurley says UConn has run college basketball for 30 years. Who has been the best college basketball program since 1994? Samter put this poll together, UConn, Duke, UNC, Kentucky. My answer is UConn. Samter's answer, because he's a Duke homer, is Duke. I go on the results right now. 51% say UConn, 22.4% say Kentucky, 16.3% roll with the Duke Blue Devils, and then 10.2% go with the UNC Tar Heels. Hopefully we will connect with Matt Jones coming up momentarily. He does a great job as the host of Kentucky Sports Radio. Few things have been happening in the world of Kentucky basketball. John Calipari, yeah, he gone. And he's off to Arkansas. We'll wait for that official announcement. And now everyone is wondering, who will the next coach of the Wildcats be? So let's welcome in the best voice covering Kentucky sports, and that, of course, is Matt Jones. Matt, appreciate the time. How you been?
Thank you. Zach, I got a question for you because I don't know. Where did you grow up? Where are you from?
I'm from Long Island in New York.
I knew it. Because here's how I judge where people are from. Do you say Calipari or do you say Calipari? And all of you that say Calipari, I knew you were a Northeasterner from that right there. Everybody else is Calipari. So that's how I know. That's how I know the residents of people.
You got it. Well, you'll probably realize through a lot of this conversation, I will say things, and you'll be like, "What planet is this jackass on the radio from?"
I've been to like three Islanders playoff games. I love it.
Well, I'm a Ranger fan, so we don't need to talk.
Well,
about
that's
the
okay. Islanders. Everybody has their fun.
So let's first start off with this, Matt. You've been covering this as close as anybody. Now that we know John is leaving, how do you kind of look back at what was the Calipari era in Lexington?
First 10 years were great. As good as any. I know they only won one title, but if you look at the totality of it, it's one of the best runs a coach has had. Last 4 years, poor. As I said on my show, I would give Cal a grade of his first 10 years, A. His last 4 years, C to C minus, which means a solid B to B, B plus to B, and an overall positive experience, but one that didn't end great.
Yeah, the way that I kind of compare it to, I'll use Aaron Rodgers. Like, Aaron Rodgers, great quarterback. John, yeah. Great coach. We know Rodgers went to a bunch of conference championship games. John Calipari went to a bunch of Final Fours, but both of them won early in their careers at Green Bay and Kentucky. And when you're at one of those historic places and you don't win another one, then everyone starts to turn on you and they start to maybe want something else.
Well, and you know what's interesting about Aaron Rodgers? Now, obviously his is a little different because a lot of it's off the field insanity that he talks about. But Aaron Rodgers is a good example. I mean, 15 years ago, would you have found a football fan that didn't have nice things to say about, or excuse me, 3 or 4 years ago, would you have found a fan not to say something nice about Aaron Rodgers? And now everybody's like, gosh, Aaron Rodgers, and it's a different look at it. That's kind of how it was for Cal in Kentucky. His first 10 years here, he was an icon. And in the last 4 years, he's become a controversial figure because he's not winning. Not so much off the court, but just like he's not winning and he's not the same guy as a coach. And I think that made it to where overall, like in 20 years, when people talk about Aaron Rodgers, if he's not trying to run for president, people will say Aaron Rodgers was a really good quarterback. Great quarterback. They'll do the same for Cal, even though in this moment it's been a tough ending.
And I just thought it was time for a split. Like, I felt this way after the Oakland game. I said, I don't think it's going to get better. I think if they don't do it now, then a year from now, this conversation is still going to be there. And we usually don't see Matt Jones win wins in sports, but this feels like a win for Arkansas, and it feels like a win for Kentucky to try to start the process of building the next championship team with the Wildcats.
And a win for Calipari, right? Like, oh, I mean, like, it's time for – he needed a change. It's a win for everybody. I totally agree. Very rarely do you get a win-win. This is a win-win. Kentucky needed to move on. Cal needed to move on. Arkansas was to the point that it looked like they were going to have to hire you to be the coach. Hmm. So, like, they get a big name. I think this is a great moment. Like, it's a great transaction for everybody involved. And it, you know, Kentucky owed Calipari $35 million, which they don't have to pay anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big part of it. Matt Jones here with us. So yesterday we had Josh Pastner on, and Josh predicted that Scott Drew is going to be the next coach of Kentucky. And I had a lot of negativity sent my way from some in Big Blue Nation about the possibility of hiring Scott Drew. And I understand that may not be the majority. It just may be a vocal minority. But I don't understand why some Kentucky fans would oppose the hire of Scott Drew. So since you're more plugged into the situation, how real is that backlash maybe?
I think it's there a little bit. I don't totally get it because – I don't know who they want, right? Like, I mean, Danny Hurley and Billy Donovan, to me, are the two people that will be the top two choices, and Kentucky fans would be pretty much universally happy. But I don't think either one of them will likely say yes. If they do, then that's who they're going to hire. But if they don't, I would just ask people, who's been more successful than Scott Drew? I mean, think back for a second. Scott Drew took over that Baylor job in 2005. When he took it over, do you remember what was happening? They were coming off a murder investigation with their players, and it was literally probably, along with like Northwestern, it was probably the worst job in Power Five. Baylor had only made one NCAA tournament before Scott Drew got there, one in its history, and then he's won a title there. That's amazing. That might be the best transformation of a program ever. So I don't really know what Kentucky fans want if they don't want that. But you're right. There are people who I think because he's not a very sexy name and he's kind of quiet, he's a little bit like a vanilla cracker, that like he's just kind of boring, right? Like, I think it's just made it to where people just don't think it's going to be you know, a sexy pick.
You know what it reminds me of, Matt? It reminds me of the crazy A&M fans that were freaking out over Mark Stoops potentially being hired. Like, Mark Stoops had two 10-win seasons at Kentucky football. Had Calipari have to apologize for saying that it was a basketball school. We all know Kentucky is a basketball school. That's what it reminds me of.
Imagine if Mark Stoops had done that and won a title.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Scott Drew did.
It's crazy to me.
I agree with you about A&M and Mark Stoops. I thought that was weird. But as much, and I love Mark Stoops.
Yeah.
But Scott
this is
Drew's
Mark Stoops on
more,
steroids.
Yeah, Drew's been even more successful than Mark Stoops.
Yeah.
So but now to be fair though, A&M thinks they're Alabama,
yes.
But they're A&M. Kentucky is Kentucky, so it is a different kind of thing.
Why don't you think Billy Donovan is going to take the job if he's offered it?
Just because I don't know if he wants to go back to college. I mean, like, you know, it's odd because people used to say college was a lifestyle job and the NBA was a grind.
Totally different now.
I think that's almost flipped, right? I think college is now a grind because of the portal and all that. And the NBA is oddly more of a lifestyle job, as crazy as that sounds. So you just got to say, does Billy want to come back and do that? But remember, he was an assistant coach here. He started under Patino here. He's lived in Lexington. He still has family here. So it wouldn't be crazy to me if he took the job.
Wrapping up with Matt Jones, who joins us right now. Nate Oates, I know that he put it out last night that he's staying at Alabama. How serious was the interest of Kentucky in Nate Oates?
I think the three guys I mentioned, Hurley, Drew, and Donovan, I think Oates was the fourth person that inquiries were thrown out to. Like, if we get to this point, would you be interested? And I think the initial word from him was yes. And then I think Alabama people were like, what do you want? And he, I think whatever it was taken care of. And so then he pulled out. I will say, though, I think he would have been the fourth choice out of the four. And so I think there was a little bit of like, I'm going to say no before you don't ask me. You know what I mean? So I think there's, I think maybe there was a little bit of that too.
Just curious. Obviously, Jay Wright is going to say no. Dan Hurley.
He's the first call, by the way.
Yes.
He's the first call. Hey, everybody just assumes he'll say no. But they have probably already called him.
Mm-hmm. So let's just say Wright says no, Hurley says no. We know Oates is already out. Let's say Billy Donovan says no, and then Scott Drew says, I want to stay at Baylor. Who does then Kentucky look for?
Then I think it's a wide open process, and I think it could be one of about five people. Chris Beard, Tommy Lloyd at Arizona, Shaka Smart, Sean Miller. Those are the names I've heard. But I'll be surprised if it gets past Scott Drew. I'm going to have to say, Scott Drew's making $3.5 million. Kentucky will pay about 10 or 11 if they want it. I'll be surprised if he turns that down to live in Waco, but we'll see. You know, you never know.
So your expectation is going to be that Scott Drew is probably the guy to be
my
the coach.
My expectation is it is probably Scott Drew unless Hurley or Donovan surprises people and says yes.
Gotcha. Wrap it up with Matt Jones. I saw that Kentucky broadcaster Dick Gabriel said that John Calipari asked Kentucky to counter Arkansas's offer. Is there any truth to that from what you've been hearing?
Well, you know, at this point it doesn't matter, but I think maybe he got some cold feet. I don't know about the word counter offer. I'm not sure I would say that. But I don't think – I think there was some time yesterday where maybe there were some second thoughts and like, you know, if I came back, what would happen? But I think UK said no. So I think that then made the decision. If he had cold feet, UK basically said, sorry, ain't happened.
And now the most important question I have to ask you, what are your thoughts on having a stroller for your dog, by the way?
Well, so I would love to laugh at that, okay, because that video was ridiculous. But to be fair to Cal, he has a dog that's very old and close to dying, and he probably had that in case the dog couldn't walk or whatever.
We thought that yesterday.
We'll give him a pass on that.
We said if the dog is healthy, you can't be having a stroller, but if there's something wrong with the dog.
The dog is very sick. Otherwise, I agree with you. It was an absurd look on paper.
It was crazy.
But here's what was absurd about it to me. Cal knew that there were cameras waiting outside of his house, and he did that on purpose,
sure,
which I thought was kind of strange. But, you know.
You know, take the dog part out it. You, like, forget the daily human duties. Like, you'd say, okay, someone else could go walk the dog when everyone wants to go talk to John Calipari. But this guy still had to walk his dog in some capacity yesterday.
It's a very Cal thing to do, by the way. Like, everybody's like, what is Calipari going to do? And Cal just walks in front of the cameras and says, sorry, I'm walking my dog. That's such a Calipari thing to do. It's hilarious.
Timeline here, like how long do you think it will take until we find out who the next coach is going to be?
If it's one of the – okay, well, all right, so it depends on the person. If it's Hurley or Drew, it'll be before the end of the week. Donovan's play-in game is April 17th, so it's going to have to be at least after that. If it's none of those three, then I think it extends into next week because they'll do a wide search. But if it's Hurley or Drew, I think we know before the end of the weekend.
He is Matt Jones. Great job, host of Kentucky Sports Radio. Matt, thank you so much for checking on in with us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You got it. There he is, Matt Jones, joining us on the Zach Gild Show on CBS Sports Radio. Samter, we talked about that being a possibility with the dog yesterday. How the dog could actually be sick. It takes the fun out of the image or the thought of John Calipari walking around with the dog being bougie with the stroller yesterday.
Hey, we qualified it.
Yes.
I said the only thing that is acceptable is the dog's older and unable to walk. We did qualify it, so we're good.
But Matt Jones, I think, knows everything about John Calipari because he even gave us information on the dog. So, man, that just ruins all the fun out of that story when you hear that. I think we could agree on everything in this world, one thing we could agree on, everyone likes a dog. Like, if you aren't a dog person, outside if you have allergies, I think that's more of a you issue than everybody else. Like, I don't think people that actually dislike dogs, unless they, like, if you're allergic, I get it. But if you're not allergic, I think that's, you know, says a lot about you as a person. Stu, are you not a dog person?
No, I am.
Okay.
I mean, I have cats, but gotcha. I don't dislike dogs.
Okay.
Yikes.
I've had dogs my whole childhood.
Okay, gotcha. No, I was just wondering. Because
no, cats are great.
I was reading your face when I was talking about dogs, and I saw an exhale from Stu. I'm like, oh, did I just offend
Stu? No.
Just wanted to make sure. Well, come on back. We'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that the news brief. But first up, with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, here is the ACK man, Rich Ackerman. All righty, final segment of the day. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Yesterday, we revealed that the average viewership for the Women's National Championship was 18.9 million. What do you think the average viewership was for the Men's National Championship game last night, where UConn defeated the Purdue Boilermakers by 15 points? Stu, what do you think the average viewership was?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I think it's less. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm not going to give you the answer.
I'll say it's like 15 million.
Okay. So Stu says 15 million. Samter, women's was 18.9 million average viewership. What did the men's do last night?
14.6.
Ooh. Well, if we were doing the prices right. Samter, come on down. Do-do-do-do. 14.8 million. So... guys are smack right in the middle right there.
I may or may not have seen.
So why did you make yourself actually look smart then and just go 14.8? I've done that before.
You know what? Listen, when you're cheating on the test, you don't get 100. You get like the 97.
Yeah, that's true, because right? You want to fudge a little bit.
Yeah, but then I admitted that I cheat anyway, so I kind of ruined all that. But still.
My office, detention. You're going to make you do 100 up-downs. Get you really working.
100 up-downs take me 6 months. You know, 5 up-downs, you might get that.
Yeah, I think after 10, Samter would be dead, honestly. All right, anyway, without further ado, I'm not talking about Freddie Adu. It's time to update you on some of the biggest storylines in the world of sports with some audio. Let's get to a little news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
We know UConn is the standard. I thought it was the easiest money last night, was just laying the 6.5 points with the Huskies. So not only did I hit my future on Tristan Newton winning at most outstanding player, I also got the laying the 6.5 points with the Huskies last night. Now, in the post-game ceremony, they said that he won the most outstanding Final Four player of the year back-to-back year. He didn't win it last year. It was Sanogo. So I was a little confused by that. But anyway, really, we all knew UConn was going to win. We got a good first half, and in the second half, the Huskies just asserted their dominance. So the biggest story after the game was, hey, Dan Hurley, are you interested at all in the Kentucky gig with John Calipari, going from... Connecticut to Arkansas, going from Kentucky to Arkansas. Let's hear how Dan Hurley answered that question.
I hope I don't misquote you, but you said out on the court something about UConn giving you all the resources you need. Can we interpret that to mean you intend to be back at UConn next year? You're not going to entertain any conversations with anybody else that might have a job coming open tomorrow?
Yeah. I don't think that's a concern. You know, my wife, you should have her answer that. Yeah.
We can maybe arrange a press conference for Mrs. Hurley in the morning. Congratulations, Coach.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, she'll answer that question better than I can.
I'm actually surprised that was the last question of the press conference. I'm surprised that it waited that long in the press conference. Great reaction, though. And Kentucky basketball fans, you got to be humiliated by that. It's not as if he's asking, like, try not to offend anybody. So I'm trying to think of a small... You know what? I could do this because they're my alma mater. It's not like someone asked, hey, Dan Hurley, do you want to coach the Temple Owls? It's Kentucky basketball. Now, everyone knew it wasn't going to happen when you went back-to-back championships at UConn, but laughing in the face of Big Blue Nation, yikes, not good. Let's hear from Jay Wright. He was asked before the game on TNT if he's interested in the Kentucky job.
I am so happy doing this. I'll tell you this right now. I love doing this. I like being Kenny's coach, even though I'm not Chuck's coach yet. I haven't earned that. I haven't earned that yet. But I love being Kenny's coach. And I say this. The guy that replaces him is going to be in a really difficult position to cover all the areas of college basketball. He's a college basketball genius.
That's so, a firm no, though? Was that a firm no?
Yeah.
Yes. The media.
Yes.
So he says yes at the end. Now, I don't think there's a chance. I know there's not a chance. Jay Wright's not going to be the next coach of Kentucky. But, like, I wasn't blown away by that answer. And everyone's like, Jay Wright clearly shuts down any chance of him being the next Kentucky coach. You got to place that phone call and make him say no, ultimately say no. But I wasn't blown away by that answer by Jay Wright last night. Let's go back to Danny Hurley. He warned teams after a loss to Villanova back in the 2020 season that UConn, you better get them now because when they're good, they're going to be better than just good. They're going to be great.
I just think we're in year two of a rebuild, man. Like this, you know, UConn, this isn't the way UConn's looked. We're on our way back. We got some exciting young players that are going to help lead us back. We're going to continue to recruit and develop and bring in the type of players that will bring UConn back. You know, people better get us now. That's all. You better get us now because it's coming.
That's a boss move. That's up there with Tobin Anderson last year guaranteeing that they were going to take down number one Purdue as a 16 seed. They were Bucko 5-29 since that comment. They just won back-to-back national championships. And last year, their average margin of victory in the tournament was 20. Now they have the best in the history of the tournament.
Didn't Deion say the exact same thing this year?
Coach Prime?
Yeah. Get us now.
Yes, he did. Do I expect Colorado football to turn into UConn basketball? Want to hear hot take of the day? No, I do not.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's hear one more from Coach Danny Hurley, the back-to-back national champion. And he made it clear about the greatness of UConn.
Yo, UConn's been running for the last 25, 30 years. UConn's been running college basketball. And I see all the former champs over there.
That's right.
And we've been running college basketball the last 30 years. Let's go.
So that's the right take. In the last 30 years, since 1994, UConn has been the best program. They've been to 7 Final Fours. They've won 6 national championships through 3 coaches. Samter put a poll out there. Dan Hurley says UConn has run college basketball for 30 years. Who has been the best college basketball program since 1994? 49.3% say UConn, 23.2% say Kentucky, 14.5% say Duke, and 13% say UNC. Samter quote tweeted this and said it's 100% Duke. Now, he did admit UConn has more national championships since 1994, 6-3. Final Fours, even at 7-7. Top 3 NBA drafts. Duke has 13, UConn has 3. First round picks, Duke has 43, UConn 19. Tourney number 1 seeds, 12 for Duke, 5 for UConn. Missed tournaments, 9 for UConn, 2 for Duke. Duke consistently is the better program. UConn gets hot more often for 3 weeks in March. That's what Samter said. The only thing is, though, I think your top 3 NBA draft picks and your first-round draft picks actually enhances the UConn argument because they've been able to win with lesser talent. So doesn't that make them the better program?
It makes them maybe having better coaches or doing more with less. But when you think about
Coach K.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Coach K is great, but like Coach K always has talent. So like you can't say that Coach K does more with less because we've never seen him with less. He's always had more. He's always had the greatest college basketball player of all time, Christian Leitner. He had Elton Brand and Battier. He's had player after player after player who was 5-star, top 3 recruits. So it's hard to say if Coach K could do more with less because we haven't seen it. So I'll give UConn that credit, but like you look at who's been like just the team with stars and players and constantly number 1 in the country, number 2 in the country, preseason number 1, yeah. All these things. Duke was always ranked higher than UConn throughout.
That's fine, but they don't win more.
Season after season. But and then UConn gets hot in March, and they win some Big East games. They win some national titles.
Like, that's important. We don't celebrate regular season.
Of course it is. But you look at the course of 30 years and the course of a season, Duke has been more consistently good.
I don't know if you heard this. I disagree with what you said, but I don't know if you heard that. My phone was going off in the background. Like, it's not Thursday, so I don't want to do a Zach Gelb Show PSA. But I just had a family member call me. I know there's no emergency going on. I know that. But, like, you know I'm on the air. And this family member in particular, my sister, has been calling me at like bizarre hours now. Like, I know she lives in Colorado, so there's a 2-hour time difference. She called me on like Saturday night at 11:45. No offense, sis. I'm busy on Saturday night. I didn't want to talk to you. And now you call me during the show? There better be an emergency. Like, I don't want there to be an emergency. But if you're calling me right now, knowing I'm on the air, there better be some sort of emergency. Let's hear from Tiger Woods. He is participating in the Masters, reportedly also giving up nookie time in the lead up to the Masters. And he was asked if he could win the Masters again.
If everything comes together, I think I can get one more. Want me to describe that any more than that? Or we're good?
Yeah, it's not going to happen. He's not winning the Masters this year. If he makes it through all four rounds, I'll be very happy because that's the best thing for golf. And finally, here is Matt Rhule. Nebraska had Bill Belichick to speak at their coach's clinic, and this is what Matt Rhule had to say about the hoodie.
He is so smart. I've seen so much that he can make the complex so simple that it humbles you and embarrasses you. I was embarrassed yesterday listening to him, how smart he is, how simple it was. He went 4.5 hours with just with the coaches. Forget the clinic. Like, he came in and met with our coaching staff. And just sitting there and just talking, right? And just his recall from things 15 years ago. The only reason why we don't get through more information is because he's having to slow down to make sure you understand what he's saying. I mean, so you have this man who's a savant, and he's talking about football in a way that just, like, illuminates things and makes things so simple that you're like, oh my goodness.
It's crazy that we're going to enter this season in the NFL, and Bill Belichick is not going to be on the NFL sideline. Instead, he's at a Nebraska coaches clinic, and he was at the Washington football practice college because you have his son as the defensive coordinator. Very sad that we don't have the great Bill Belichick on the sideline this year. All righty. There is a whole lot that we were not able to get to today. We'll get to it tomorrow. And then some. Donovan McNabb going to join us tomorrow. We'll have some fun as we get set for the NFL draft with a bunch of QBs that we'll have to break down. Thank you to all for listening. Thank you to Stu. Thank you to Samster. We'll do it all again tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Hey, everyone. This is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.